You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Brother Wolven, I have to tell you, I had an incredible weekend.
Wonderful.
And I had so many people talk to me about Tim Talks.
Amen.
And a lot of people are asking me about Steve and Michelle, our last podcast. And
Amen.
It was awesome. Great response. We've had so many people listening that I didn't really know were listening. So that was great. So I appreciate that. I ran into an old friend of ours, the legendary baseball player from Heritage Christian School, Mr. Eric Corley.
Yes, sir.
And his lovely wife.
Yes.
And he is a listener. And
that's awesome.
I was so glad to know that. Yeah, Eric's a great guy.
Yes,
he is.
I
love that guy. He was a phenomenal baseball player in high school. I had the privilege of coaching him. I was an assistant.
A better basketball player, even. So.
He was an all-around great athlete.
Oh, yeah.
So, good thing, because he's not very good looking. So that really helped out.
His Sorry, wife Eric. Would disagree.
Yes, I disagree. He's a good looking guy. So, yes, that was great to see him. I had a tremendous weekend. I was able to preach in Norwalk.
Amen.
At Norwalk Baptist with Brother Rich Foreman. And again, a number of people there, listeners to Tim Talks. And he allowed me to take some time before I started preaching just to talk about Tim Talks. And I think we're going to pick up some listeners.
Awesome.
There. And they're about 98% back. Their people
wow,
are back in
that's
church
great.
And going at it. It is great. And then I was able to flip down to Canton, Ohio, and I was at Fellowship Baptist Church with Brother Tim Brown, who's an awesome
Amen.
Guy. We're great friends as well, and had a wonderful service with them. Good crowd for a Sunday night. So, probably one of the best altar calls I've seen in a while.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, it was just people were in tune with the message. I preached the message, "What are we waiting for?" And just saying to the church, "Hey, we've been off for a year. Let's get at it. Let's dedicate ourselves to getting at it." So it was good. Good time. You had a busy weekend.
Yes, and it's keep going as we record. So, but it's awesome. Denise and I in our church participated in a couples conference with Capital City Baptist Church, and Brian and Chris Dahlke are there. And we had a very good time on Friday nights and Saturday morning. And then Saturday evening, Dr. Terrell Hudson from Moraine Heights Baptist Church, he's pastor emeritus now, came and we met up. And he's been preaching our missions conference for us. I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're recording this on a Monday morning, and he'll be preaching still a couple more times yet. And, man, he did a great job. Oh, he did a great
awesome.
Job. In the evening, he preached on being a second-mile Christian. In the morning, he preached on the fifth sparrow. That was really interesting. I thought it was great.
Fifth sparrow.
Yeah.
Huh. Awesome. Good weekend.
Yes.
So we are picking up the mantle of Monday and going on. One of the ladies that talked to me yesterday said, "You know what I really like? It sounds like you guys are just sitting at a table having a coffee together." I said, "Well, that's pretty much what
awesome.
We're doing."
That is great.
I said we're at Tim Hortons having a coffee, and I said I'm having a coffee, and he's having a Diet Coke or a tea, and
that's it.
That's what it is. So that's exactly what we wanted to do when we got started. That's the premise that we wanted. So mission accomplished.
Yeah.
So this is the last one we're doing. We're done. Bye.
Hey, I'll tell you one more blessing that I received.
Yeah.
We had sold our house probably about 2.5 years ago, and Denise either got an email or a phone call from the people who lived there, and they said, "Hey, there's a package here from the Vern Rife Center for Dan Wolven." And so she went over and picked it up. The Vern Rife Center is where all of our House representatives, their offices are and things. And I'm thinking, why would a package come? Did I leave something in somebody's office? And it was from the Speaker pro tempore, so the second in charge. He had had a bill go through last General Assembly, and I had spoken on behalf of it as a proponent, and of course many other people did too. It's for religious freedom for children, for our students in public school. And it wound up passing, and so he wrote me a note of thanks and gave me one of the pens that the governor used to sign the bill into law.
Wow.
So that's neat.
Wow. That's really neat.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that kind of stuff. Yeah, I got a letter from Ottawa the other day, and it said, you owe more taxes. It's handwritten. And they sent a pen so I could sign it. I got nothing over here. Oh, man. Hey, we did get an email, though. We got an email.
Amen.
From, again, one of our faithful listeners, Pastor Patrice Sherrod, one of our young men in Canada, in Baxter at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Patrice, obviously, is French, but Patrice Sherrod.
Amen.
But very English-speaking. Fine young man, great family, lovely wife and children. They adopted some children, and they are just delightful. And had a great meeting with them several months ago. And he sent in a letter. And he said, I was wondering off the top of my head if you had done it already. I can't think of it. But if you've considered doing a podcast on prayer,
yeah.
Maybe touch on ways to develop a prayer life for children, young people too. It's the key of my life, yet I know it took me a while, too long, to grasp its importance and value. Other things could be how to conduct a prayer meeting, a prayer warrior, or some prayer warriors you've known over your ministries. And I'm sure that you have some good, funny stories too. So that's a great idea.
Well, that is great. And yeah. We are remiss for going 500 podcasts without really zeroing in on that. That's great, yeah. great question. Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So the answer is I pray every day. Okay, Brother Wolven, you want to answer that?
I eat every day, therefore I pray before I eat. So,
all right, that's right. Question. God is good. God is great.
Well, the more right. often we eat, the more we're going to pray.
That's right. God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. That was it when I was a kid, for sure.
You did it backwards, man. God is great. God is good.
Yeah.
Let us thank Him for our food.
Let us thank Him for our food.
Yeah.
For our food.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, I do have to tell you, let's start right off with a funny story. One time, my father-in-law was at a restaurant, and he just started digging in and eating. And somebody said to him, hey, Brother Thompson, aren't you going to pray for that food? He goes, it was under $5. You don't have to pray for that. And to this day, I have people that say to me, yeah, it was under $5. We don't have to pray
that's
for that.
So funny.
Dr. Thompson said so.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Then the other time was one of the grandkids caught him. And he just, because when Dr. Thompson ate, he ate. It was serious business. And so he chowed in, and one of the grandkids was like, Grandpa, aren't you going to pray for that? And he goes, oh, no, I pray afterwards. It's better because now I know how good it is.
Yes, exactly. I've heard him say that before.
Which,
got to know what it's like to thank Him for.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah. So let's tackle that this week. That'd be a good one. So let's talk about developing a prayer life for ourselves and for children, for teenagers.
Well, amen. I think it's something, I agree with Brother Sherrod, that it's something you sort of grow into, and I think it's something that you wind up seeing how important it is over the course of your life. It becomes more important each and every day, each and every big event in our life. Every time we fall and mess up, I would say, man, I should have gone before the Lord. So I think that there is an element of the more you mature in Christ, the more important it becomes.
I think it's kind of like when you meet somebody and you fall in love with them. When you first start out, it's a little awkward, and you really don't know what to communicate about. But the more you get to know that person, the more you want to talk to them, and the more you have to share with them. And when you meet Jesus Christ, you're a new Christian. Let's start with those today. Maybe you're a brand new Christian. And you really don't know how to pray. And I've had people, you know, you've asked them to pray in church or whatever, and they don't want to because they just don't know how to pray, publicly especially. In your prayer closet, in your personal time, we're just talking to the Lord. We're just sharing our hearts with Him and the burdens that we carry. I think most people start with their own personal needs, and then they start with their family, and then they extend from there. And I know in my prayer routine, that's what I would do. And then, you know, from those personal people and experiences, then I stretch out to people that maybe are on a prayer list at church. It's good to have a prayer list to do that. And so that's where I would start out. I know you're a list guy. You like keeping a list.
Yeah, that helps me. You know, I started, and I think I've referred to this before in our podcast, but it seems appropriate here. I started as a little boy. My mom and dad would read the Bible and pray every night with us, every night. And so actually I learned to read in family devotions. I could read before I went to kindergarten. You know, I wound up, I think I was in second or third grade when I started praying on my own. And of course that was, you know, I would say if you total it all up, you know, four times out of the week, you know, I mean, while I was in elementary school, it was something that I usually did. I couldn't say that I always did it. By the time I got into junior high, I really was reading my Bible and praying every single day on my own. And, you know, not usually on Sunday because I was up a little bit earlier and getting ready for bus routes and those kind of things. And whenever I went to Bible college, man, that somewhere at some point I stopped doing that. Now, I had many times of prayer and different seasons of, but my day by day, every single day, having the devotions went by the wayside. And it probably wasn't until I was on church staff for about a year and a half, until I, you know, got back into the habit of doing that at home. It's not just a job. It isn't just something for school. You know, it's something that I did at home.
You know, as a kid, my parents as well would read us a nighttime bed story from a Bible book. And we learned, you know, obviously the great stories of the Bible, all the main stories of Daniel and Noah and, you know, obviously about Jesus and the disciples, awesome things. And we would pray. And, you know, it was very simple. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then somebody pointed out one time, that's kind of scary for kids. If I die before I wake. I never thought of it as a kid, but as an adult, it does sound a little scary. So very quickly we learned to pray, you know, about other things. And as I said, we started with family. It was usually for, you know, mommy and daddy and grandpa and grandma and my sister and then those things. And then as you get older, definitely expands out. Do you pray at a certain time in the day? Do you have certain times that you pray, like morning and evening or just morning? Or
yes. Yes, I'm usually up early. Today was an exception, but I'm usually up early, you know, anywhere from 5:30 to 6:15. I mean, 90% of the time I'm up. And so, first of all, I sort of get settled, and then I read my Bible and pray. I try to do that very first thing. And then oftentimes that goes right into, I get done with that, and I start thinking of this and that and the other, and I usually wind up studying right away. Yeah. So, you know, I wind up doing that very first thing. And you're right, I'm a list guy. I don't have a list for home anymore because I've done it so often that, you know, praying for family first, you know, I don't need a list for that. And I pray for you know, you and your family, and Steve and Phil Clayton and their families. I mean, it just, you know, we've always been like family. Always prayed for Dave Cook and his family. Mm. And so, you know, those I don't need. Now, I do take exception. I don't remember every single one of the grandkids. So
right.
I will, you know, pray for your kids and their spouses and their children, you know.
Yes,
but
right.
Certainly the Lord knows. But that's my routine. And then I have our church members, all of our church members, and sometimes visitors sort of chopped up into five lists. And I pray for every single one of our church members by name every week. And then, of course, we've got our prayer sheet that are, you know, extra things and burdens and those kind of things that I won't pray the entire prayer sheet. But I do pray. I'm on the Governor Evangelical Advisory Council. And one of the things that we'd promised to do is to pray for our governor by name every day. And so I certainly do that. And then we pray for other legislators, you know, as maybe I'm working with or dealing with or saw or mentioned. And then sometimes I will go ahead, you know, if somebody lays someone on my heart, I'll either text them, the senator or representative, or sometimes I'll just write a note, hey, prayed for you extra yesterday, hope things are going well. And, you know, those things really, really help keep a good relationship. And that's not why I'm doing it, but that's just an added benefit.
Right. When I get up in the morning, I'm usually praying for my wife and kids, my grandkids. I do as well pray for you and your family and Steve and Phil as well, some other friends that come to mind or on my heart. Maybe that week I try to pick different ones, you know, each day.
Yeah.
But I probably the bulk of my prayer and probably my best prayer time is just throughout the day as I go. I've just decided years ago, I heard a preacher say that, you know, as I said earlier, when you're praying, you're just talking to the Lord. And I started to think of the Lord as a friend. And he is.
Amen.
And a friend that's closer than a brother. And so I communicate to the Lord as I would a friend through the day. And I'll say, Lord, man, I have a great day today. I'm so glad you're here. Man, would you help so-and-so? They came to my mind today. And maybe yes. A pastor or, you know, a church member. Or I'll see someone. Those kind of things really help me. And I just, when I'm driving, great prayer time. I just, my mind
Amen.
Just goes to other people when I'm driving. If I'm flying on an airplane, that's not only a great time for
me. It's not good riding with you while
No.
you close your eyes and pray
Well,
while you're driving.
I have to admit, I do keep one open just a tiny, tiny bit, just so I can see a blur of people coming at me. Most people are praying while I'm driving, if you've ever ridden with me. Lord, help us, we're going to die. But my wife is an awesome prayer warrior in the car. So,
well, yeah, I'm like you as well. It isn't like I pray for everybody on those lists at that very first time. I pray for my personal folks first. Then later through the day, I'll take the list of our church members and then, you know, our prayer sheet usually both at the same time. But you're right. Man, you wind up praying throughout the day, and then sometimes, you know, I've given myself over to prayer and fasting. I plan on it, and, you know, tell Denise, hey, I really think I'm going to be fasting a couple days this week, you know, maybe Thursday and Friday. And so just so she knows for food preparation and stuff, you know, but not to make a big announcement. But, you know, there are, I think, times of prayer and fasting really affect me. Because every time I sort of get hungry, you know, I try to alliterate that into, Lord, I ought to be craving you more than I should be craving food. I mean, it just helps me, you know, in my closest to the Lord. And I think it's an important thing. I don't think that very many of us fast and pray. It'd probably be a whole podcast, really.
Right. I struggle with that because whenever I get hungry, I say, Lord, I want to take you into my life. I want you to be more in me. And then I eat. And I struggle with that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, let's do this. Let's close this out. One of the things that he touched on was a prayer life for teenagers. And we've kind of talked about children, and we've talked about us as adults. As a youth pastor, I know you had some programs that you use for prayer with young people. Let's close it out with that thought today. You go ahead and take that.
I think that we'd have to do it another time because I think I tried to integrate it a little bit more. You know, it may wind up going a little bit long unless you think it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. We don't go long very often. Let's go ahead and do it. Take your time.
All right. I was burdened about the same thing about teenagers, and you know, it really comes back to, again, I got out of the habit. Now, it doesn't mean I didn't read my Bible and pray for, you know, 6 years, but it's just the habitual every single day that I think that is good, a good Christian habit to have. And so I had done things where I had young people, maybe I'd make a booklet, all right, this month, write down every answer to prayer, or, you know, here's what we're going to pray for, all of us together, not necessarily united in the same room, but we're going to pray for this on Thursday, we're going to pray for this on next Tuesday, you know, try to do things like that. There were times that we met just for prayer, maybe before or after church. There were times that every time we were at a Isaiah 6 meeting, we tried to close it in prayer where everyone would pray, and you'd find two or three people and pray with them, you know, to close every single meeting. I wanted them to get used to praying with other teenagers, because that's for some people, it's an embarrassing thing to pray in front of anyone else. And so you got to get over that habit a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. As a teenager, I struggled for prayer time as a teenager, to be honest with you. I got sidetracked. And I did other good things, but prayer was not my strong point when I was a teenager. And though I had some good youth pastors, that was not a focus. And I think that if there's ever a time that we need to pray and need to know how to pray, it's during those teen years. That's when we face most of our temptations that sidetrack us later in life. So very, very important. Some good stuff there. Well, that's been a great podcast today, and we'll look forward to Wednesday. We'll bring up some of those other things. He asked about, you know, conducting a prayer meeting. Maybe we'll take a look at that and some of the things that we did in church for that. And then on Friday, maybe the prayer warriors. We'll see where it goes. We never really know, folks. We are just sitting across the table having a cup of coffee, and sometimes you just never know where that conversation is going to go. So we'll do that. I'm Brother Al Stone. I'm having the time of my life here in Ohio, preaching in some great churches, having some awesome meetings. I'm headed to the Knoxville area in Tennessee. I'll be with Brother Paul Baird down there for a missions conference, and looking forward to that. So this is Al Stone, and I'm hoping you're having a great day and a great time of prayer today.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Thanks so much for your participation in this podcast. It helps us know what direction to go to. And it, you know, as I was speaking at a couples conference over the weekend, you know, I said, every time I do any marriage counseling or premarital counseling or anything like this, all it does is it convicts me of how much better of a husband that I need to be. And so these questions and things, it's good for us too. So I appreciate it.
Amen. This is Tim Talks. We hope you have a great day. We'll see you on Wednesday. We're going to carry this thought through on prayer. It's Tim Talks. Have an awesome day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.